T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back in on a Friday along with Bomb Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler, Brian Williams, B-Dub producing. We had a chance to chat with the one Andy Reid up at Chiefs training camp, as they're actually off today and they practice again on Saturday. We had a chance to talk to Coach about, now, can you believe it, entering his 10th year with the Chiefs.
You know, I hadn't thought about it, but it's gone by fast, I can tell you that. I've enjoyed every minute of it. It's a great organization. It's great to be in. It's a great situation up here, too, that we're lucky to be standing in air conditioning right now and enjoying that part. But it's a great setup, yeah.
When you're done, when it's all said and done and you're sitting back, and I've talked to players about this, about you. Some players go, he coached in Philadelphia? Do you think you'll be remembered
our
more
kids
for
kids? Say that
our
too.
Kids yeah, do say that as well. Yeah. My kids say it all the time. He hasn't always been here. I go, no, he had like 14 years in Philly. Do you think you'll be remembered more for here or more for what you did in Philadelphia?
Well, it probably depends on the part of the country you're in. I had a chance to go over to Italy this summer, and a lot of the East Coast people were over there. And I got a lot of Yo Andy, you know, from across the squares over there and the different parts we were at. So I think it probably depends on what area you're in and kind of what you grew up with. That's always – you get – when you're someplace for 10 years, like you're saying – you know, take yourself back, take these kids back that are teenagers now, back 10 years, and you're what they know.
Right.
So who knows? I don't know. I'm just glad I've enjoyed both places, and we still have work to do here.
Was there some sort of coaches convention in Italy this summer? Because we talked to Al Saunders the other day. He goes, oh, yeah, Dick and I were over in Italy. You were over in Italy. Is this like what we do in the summer now? Everybody goes over there?
Well, I don't know. I told my wife I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to start in the north, and I'm going to eat my way all the way to the south.
I did the same thing.
Yeah. No, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable food there. So enjoyed the people. It was, you know, it's beautiful over there.
Did you go to the Leaning Tower of Pisa and try to hold it up and take a picture doing anything like
that?
No,
I didn't do anything crazy. Nothing crazy.
Do you have a kind of a reset every year? Do you kind of go year to year? Do you ever think about retirement? I know people always ask. Almost like pushing it, like I don't ever want you to retire, right? Yeah. So does that ever cross your mind? Do you have a thought process you go through every year? Or?
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that point. I know I'm on the back end of it for sure, but when that time is, I haven't really thought about that. So I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing. I have, you know, the opportunity to be one out of 32 guys in the whole world that gets to do this for a great organization and great kids out here. So.
But if you did walk away at the end of the season, would you feel satisfied with a career complete?
Yeah, so I look at it more, do you leave the place, have you left the place in a good position, you know, and better than what you came into? I mean, that's how I felt in Philadelphia. When we were in Green Bay, I thought we left them in good shape. I felt that way in Philadelphia. And, you know, with a good foundation, a winning foundation, and so whenever that time is, that's what I would hope you'd be able to leave with them.
Yeah. Has Patrick Mahomes extended your career?
Well, he hasn't heard it. So no, he does a heck of a job. He's a good kid too. He handles all this the right way, which you guys know, but I mean he handles it very well.
Did you have like a time frame, Andy, when you came into Kansas City? You're like, maybe I'll give this 5 years, and then 15 shows up, and you go, I ain't going anywhere for another 15 years or something like that.
Yeah, well, I loved having Alex here too. I mean, we had so many successful years with him, and I didn't have any idea we were going to draft this guy, and back when I started on this, but he's been a pleasure to coach up to this point. So I told him, don't change. Just keep being you. And he does a great job of that.
What's your favorite story from being the coach? It might not even be on the field. Might not be anything we see. What's your, I guess, favorite memory of being the coach here?
Yeah, well, I think it's hard to get around winning the championship game at home. You know, it's named after our owner's father, right? So, and the person that started the organization. And then you have Mrs. Hunt out there enjoying that moment too. So to be able to bring the Lamar Hunt Trophy to Kansas City, I think is a beautiful thing. And there's something special about that when you do it in front of your crowd. And the Super Bowl is great. And winning the Super Bowl is phenomenal. That's great. But that, you know, that feeling, capacity crowd in Arrowhead, is unbelievable.
It was pretty special. I remember being down on the field and just kind of feeling that for the last like 2 minutes of the game, and everybody's just going crazy. And you're not only winning it for you or for the players or for the people there. It's been 50 years, you know, since the Chiefs were able to do something like that as a franchise. Does that kind of run through your mind too?
Well, I remember when they won it. I was a
so
big,
does Josh.
Yeah. No. I was a big Mike Garrett fan and Lynn Dawson fan, and growing up in Los Angeles, you know, with Mike Garrett coming from SC, I loved SC football, and so I followed the Chiefs, and I remember that 50 years ago. So, you know, obviously it means something, and it's great for the people in the city. Phenomenal for them.
What are you thinking when the final seconds are ticking down in the Super Bowl and you finally have what many people will say is the conclusion of the Hall of Fame career? You get into the Hall of Fame, you won the Super Bowl. What's going through Andy Reid's mind at that point in time?
Oh, man, I was worried that they might put something together. The Gatorade woke me up a little bit, but it's a great feeling. I mean, one of the better feelings that you have, obviously, in this profession. So, and I've had a lot of good ones. So that's a phenomenal feeling.
Is it a different feeling now than it was in the moment? I mean, have you had any reflection yet?
No, because you want to go get another one. You know, so very seldom do you look back in this business. I think when you do, you get your tail kicked. So you're always moving forward, and then you can do that later. But that moment was great. And you kind of think about all the people that were involved with it, coaches, players, present and past. And so that kind of shoots through your mind there right when it closes. And then you're, you know, they take you whiskey away.
That's all blur.
It's chaos from there. So.
I want to talk about your relationship with Travis Kelce, too. You had touched on something the other day where you something to the effect of, oh, we butted heads early on. We had our kind of trials and tribulations, and you're smiling now because I think we all remember those. I think it was the game where he did the fly, Eagles, fly thing. And after that, you were pretty vocal about how upset you were. I don't know that I've seen a player change both on the field and off the field like this kid has. What? How did that all happen?
Well, they normally don't last.
Right, yeah.
They normally, if they do crazy things, they're gone. But he loves the game. He's got a soft heart. He really does. Now, he has a temper, or he really had a temper back then, and he'd do these crazy things. And so it was just kind of corralling that into better production, more consistent production. And he was able to do that. He kind of hung with it and knew it was the best for him. His brother probably helped that whole process. His brother and I had a good relationship, and I had talked to him before we drafted him, and he said, just keep the hammer on him. He'll be fine. So, you know, that's kind of what we did.
Growth like that, is that part of the gratification of coaching? Like when you see somebody go from here to, I mean, he's going to be from there to probably a Hall of Fame when he's done.
Special guy. I mean, he's a special guy. And I love seeing all the things he does in the community with the kids, and big heart. You know,
have you had a player develop like that and change, like do a 180 like he did?
I've had a few. They all do it a little different, though. You know, he's come a long way. Yeah, for sure.
Who's the one coach, one player that keeps you up at night where you're like, God, it's so hard to prepare for this dude?
Yeah, there are quite a few of them out there. But I mean, I tell you, Bill Belichick and I have been doing this a long time and going against each other a long time. He's a defensive guy. I'm an offensive guy, and we respect each other, and it's always a chess match, and you appreciate that. Yeah.
What do you think about this year's team? What has you excited?
You know, I love the energy they have. I mean, it's they're so eager to grow, and we've got room to do that, and so they're attacking that part of all these new kids are attacking it. And we've challenged them here this week, and they've just dug in. A lot of them haven't been through practices like this. Mm-hmm. And so they've dug in and withstood the heat, and, you know, all the plays were thrown at them offensively and defensively. The special teams periods where they're gassed, and now they got to go do special teams for 15 minutes and run up and down the field, you know. And but they've embraced that, and I mean, I love that part. And there's an unknown out there for all of us, right? I mean, all of mm-hmm. us. We're curious. Everybody's curious to see how it all works out. But right now, as coaches and players, we're right in the hopper and cranking every day. And then we stay up late at night doing it, and they get their sleep, and they're right back at it. And I just appreciate how they're doing it.
Well, Josh and I, we've seen a practice and a half, and we've got it already figured out. I mean, it's 17-0, Super Bowl champs, but that defense looks fast. And, you know, I don't have the same kind of viewpoint that you do. You're kind of not – they're quick, yeah. Right?
Yeah, there's really good speed on the defense. A lot of youth. But the secondary is extremely young. But it looks like they're pretty good. So they'll be tested, obviously, with the quarterbacks we have in this division. And so I'm curious to see how they work through that. You have to have a short memory in the secondary there. Learn from what, you know, if somebody grabs it on you, learn from it and move on, and don't worry about what happened the last play. So I've got to see that part of it, see how they do once the competition ends up being game competition where it all counts.
You mentioned the unknown on offense for you. Does that recharge your batteries? I mean, that it feels like there's so many moving parts that it would be fun.
Listen, my battery is always charged. I love doing what I'm doing, but no, it's neat. I'm curious to see how we grow. I mean, that's what you're looking at, to see where we can go with it and the challenges that are presented. We've got smart guys. Brett's brought in smart guys, and that allows you to, you know, expand and grow. And these guys, they want to do that. And then Pat's a big part of that. So his attitude, Kelsey's attitude on the offensive side, that's a big part of it. And Juan is doing a nice job on the defensive side. Big Chris and Frank, they bring energy. Bringing Reed in, experienced guy helps. And then those two young linebackers, Bolton and Willie, are fast and they're furious and they love to play. And so there's a charge in there right now.
Yeah, they look like they're ready to roll, man. Yeah. Like, and Bolton being number 32 as a linebacker just looks cool. Yeah. I don't know if he's faster at it, but he looks cool wearing number 32.
Who's the last great linebacker that wore 32? He's with the Colts.
I was going to say Jack Ham. I don't know who.
You go Mike Curtis. He's with the Colts. He came there as a running back, I believe, and as a fullback, and then they moved him over to linebacker. He's an all-pro linebacker for him.
And number 32?
32.
Well, you got another all-pro linebacker at number
That's
32.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Good.
One more final question for you. I want you to shout out Brett Veach, because that Isaiah Pacheco is pretty good, and he comes in the seventh round. Like, people were sleeping on this kid.
Yeah, he has a chance to be a good football player, and Brett does a phenomenal job. You know, I'm partial. I think he's the best in the business of what he does, and every year he's showing us that he is very thorough with what he does. He's got a great staff. And they work their tail off. And, you know, as coaches, we appreciate that.
Coach Tramiel's going into the Hall of Fame this weekend, and I know you have a pretty special relationship with him. How – I know he calls you a lot, right?
He's
always checking in with you, right?
Yeah,
can you describe the relationship you've kind of had with him and then what he's meant, obviously, to the league?
Yeah, what's crazy is we've kind of gone the same path, in a sense. Haven't coached in Philadelphia, haven't coached here, so – he's a special guy. You guys know him, and he's high energy. He's positive. He's a teacher always. And so he always checks on me, makes sure things are going okay, because he's walked in those shoes. And I appreciate every opportunity I have to talk to him. You learn something every time you talk to him.
How influential was he in getting you here to Kansas City? Because you had options, man. You had options.
Yeah, no, he was a big part of it. He loved the Hunt family. And he said, you know, he coached me up on the quality of living and the organization and kind of how it was operating. And, he definitely had a part of this. Yes, for sure.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, guys.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Good talking with you.
You too.
We're there, right?
Hey, Josh needs some shoes like everybody else. He could be on the sidelines.
He's got the throwbacks. Shoes. He's got the Chuck Taylors.
I kind of like those, though.
Those are pretty good. I like those.
Yeah. These are Jordans, Chuck Taylors,
Will
Chamberlain there Jordan here. There you go. All right.
Andy Reid. Oh, we had a chance to catch up with Coach up at camp.
Mm-hmm.
And ended with shoes. Nice try, though.
I told you this is now my thing. I am dug in to get you a pair of shoes from the Chiefs.
Really good.
I know they're listening. Somebody needs to send over a pair of 10s to Josh.
No, I'm good now. I'm good. It's fine.
I bet you know what? I'm going to talk more to Mitch and Dan. Dan Israel could probably get this done. That guy can get anything done, by the way. I have never seen somebody so talented as Dan Israel, like whatever you need done radio-wise.
Yeah, Dan engineered our interview and took photos.
Right, and cut out every photo bomber possible.
He did the entire thing for us.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I mean, so if anybody can get you shoes, These Stories Is Real can get you shoes.
maybe so. Interesting that the AFC Championship game resonates so much.
So much, yeah. You know.
And then we were discussing Dick Vermeil as well, and how he's brought it up. I swear, every time he's been on with us, how much it aided him. He didn't win the Lamar Hunt Trophy.
Yeah.
For Lamar when he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you've accomplished so much. Like, don't worry about it. You're going to the Hall of Fame. Good,
right.
Goodness sakes. He's talking about the Hall of Fame, and he's talking about his biggest regret still was not winning that. And then for how much it means to Andy Reid to have won that for the family is pretty cool.
Look, we were very, very fortunate to win that championship right before the pandemic set in. And nobody knew what was about to come, right? And I remember being down on the field that day when they won the championship. I snuck down there on the field, right? And being down there and being on the field in the bowl looking up at 80,000 fans and the emotion, because the championship game is yours. I mean, you're at home, right? And I'm getting goosebumps here talking about it, Josh, because it's your event. You're at home. It's your stadium, your fans. The Super Bowl obviously is the crowning jewel, winning the championship.
It's
a neutral field. You're not doing it at home. Yeah. I mean, remember when the Royals won in 15, we all talked about, well, what if they lose one more and get back to Kansas City? Everybody wants you to win it at home. You know, you want to do it in front of your home fans. And the Super Bowl, the NFL, the biggest game in town, is the only sport in American professional sports where you can't win a championship in front of your home fans. That's why that AFC championship game, and for a lot of teams, the NFC championship game being at home, that's why that resonates so much, because you're doing it in front of your fans and you can share that moment with your fans. The second one obviously came in the middle of a pandemic. It wasn't as good as the first one where there were 80,000 fans. And that first one, to see people with emotion who have suffered as a fan for 50 years finally see that trophy raised, it was a beautiful thing. And I totally agree with Andy Reid. That's my favorite moment of him here in Kansas City, is winning that championship trophy here at Arrowhead Stadium. And the last 2 years, you know, you look back and you think, God, that moment was just so special. Hopefully we can have another one of those this year.
Let's all remember our first beers. Next.
This is Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. 610 Sports Radio, your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Happy International Beer Day today. There are a lot of beer holidays, and I'm here for it.
Which, like, is your favorite of all the beer holidays? I don't know.
They have so many of them because they just break it down now, and now there's like 10, 15 of them. Or
right.
It seems like once a week or whatever. Didn't you say it was IPA day
yesterday? IPA day was yesterday or the day before.
I don't know why you don't spread them out a little bit more than this, but.
Well, you do. Yeah. Again, it goes back to, like, it's Pat Daddy's birthday again, right?
I guess, but no. But yeah. I mean, you could have these like once a week or something rather than back-to-back days.
Yeah, you beers. Could.
So International Beer Day today.
Yeah, this is international, though. This isn't National Beer Day where it's only celebrated here in the United States.
Right.
It is International Beer Day, which
means they're on their own calendar. Yeah,
Canada and Australia, the other international countries that are out there that are escaping me at this moment.
Right.
They're all celebrating today as well.
Time to go have a Sapporo or something.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
Yeah, there you go. You could do that. Gotcha. Yeah.
So we were just thinking, does everybody remember their first beer?
What was your first beer? Yeah. Do you remember what your first beer was?
Yeah.
What was it?
It was a Beast.
Oh, was it really?
Milwaukee's Best.
Oh, wow.
Light.
Light. I'm sure it was.
Because we were, underage and whatever.
Right.
It had to be the Light because you didn't want to be full, too.
Right. Yeah, or get the
Milwaukee's Best Light.
That was
yours,
one
of those today, I'd be like, no.
You wouldn't even do it for nostalgia's sake, though?
I'll do a lot of yard beers. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. You do.
I love the hams and the old style and the PBR, whatever. Beast was bad. It was cheap, but terrible.
Terrible stuff. Yeah. BW, do you remember what your first beer was?
Old style.
Old style.
My
Look
pops was a big old style person. That and PBR, but mainly old style was just nothing but the house. And he was a grocery store. So he's a general manager of that, and he'd get all the deals. And we'd have old style signs in the house and always loaded up on beer. So that was the first one.
Grocery's a tough business, man.
Oh, man. He worked his fingers to the bone till he was working up until 2 weeks before he passed.
Mm.
And just, he was done work. And then, 2 weeks later, he was no longer with us.
Yeah.
So, He worked his butt off in the grocery business.
Yeah,
it
those signs
a tough
still?
Industry.
No, and that's what we thought. But when after my mom passed, he kind of got rid of everything. You know, he just had people come over and just clear out the house. Went and bought him a condo on the golf course, and he lived a simple life. He went to work, came back home, sat in front of the TV, watched his Chiefs, watched his Royals, and that was it.
That was it, huh? Yeah, I remember working in the grocery store as a kid. It was my first job, and some of the. I mean, just some of the stuff that goes on in order for, like, having product placement in the right spot.
Yeah.
I mean, it is absolutely crazy. My first beer was Red Dog. Remember that? Remember the Red Dog stuff? Yeah, that was the first beer I remember buying, in college, like going to the liquor store.
Buying.
That.
I mean, buying's different than having.
Well,
okay. Yeah.
I guess having was probably, I would say probably having was, my dad drank a lot of Heineken when we were growing up, so I'm sure that was one of them. And I also remember, like, obviously Bud Light's early, days when you're young, that was kind of like, okay, I'll have a Bud Light or a Miller Light or something like that. But I just remember Red Dog being one of the first that I ever had. And I don't know why they don't sell that beer anymore. It was so deliciously bad.
Are you sure they don't?
I don't think they do. I don't think they do anymore. No, I don't think they do sell that anymore. Then there was Ice House, which we always seemingly had in a keg. Ice House was like always like they didn't have natural light, you went Ice House. And on a rare day when we all had a couple of extra bucks, we'd get a keg of Bud Light, and that was a big freaking day when we did that.
Yeah, that was when you roll out the big bucks.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, and this has taken me back a long time, like, to the mid-90s, but I remember we'd get like a keg of Natty for like $45.
Feels
about right back then.
Yeah.
And we always had an empty keg lying around, right? No matter where it was, we always had the empty keg lying around so you could take it back to the liquor store and get yourself a new one, wouldn't have to put down that deposit. And so I just always remember, like, 45 or 50
bucks. Because deposit money was big.
It was huge. Yeah.
Keeping that deposit money.
Yeah.
For the and then don't lose that tapper.
No, don't lose that.
Oh, that's trouble.
Yeah, don't lose that at all. Trouble. You're screwed on that
so
one.
So your first beer is at 913-586-7610. It will probably determine a little bit of your age as well.
Yeah.
Based on your answers.
So got a couple of Zimas already rolling in. And I think a lot of us had those Zimas back in the day, too. Yeah.
I keep thinking.
Put the Jolly Rancher in it?
Yeah, of course.
We keep talking about this and haven't done it yet, but. Somebody texts in, the High Dive Bar has the mystery beer vending machine. Uh-huh. I totally want to do that. $2, it's filled with whatever, and you just...
Really?
You hit it, and you, you hit it, and you just... You get
whatever
what
you get.
Whatever you get.
Yeah, I want to... I keep talking about going and doing that. So
Schlitz in a can.
Now, here's a good one. My first beer was Bud Dry. Why ask why? Try Bud Dry, right? They don't make the Bud Dry anymore. Nope. You missed that one, too.
Yeah. Keystone Light Baby comes in. Yeah, Keystone was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
My first beer was Zima. I don't think that's
why I'm asking. That counts, right?
Clear malt liquor, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I guess that was the case. I don't know. Miller High Life's a good one as well.
Yeah, Coors Light Party Ball. There it is. Yeah. We had those two.
Olympia, someone says.
Oh, my God, nice. Olympia. Ugh.
What was the one with the moose?
That was Moosehead.
Moosehead. Yeah. Lowenbrau.
Lowenbrau. See, now that's one I wish they would bring back. And that's the one that always bothers me the most. When I go to a liquor store or a bar and I see that sign for Lowenbrau, I always get excited, even though I know that Lowenbrau isn't made anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Don't display that sign because it makes me want Lowenbrau. Yeah, like maybe somebody should bring back Lowenbrau.
First beer was a Falstaff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I had a Falstaff that we had a road trip to Omaha, and for some reason they had the white can with beer on it.
Yeah.
And so we had to buy that, right?
Of course, we had to buy it.
And it turned out it was Falstaff, but it must have been like, we were like, is this like the irregular Falstaff?
Is that what it ended up being? Because
it was like brewed by Falstaff, but it was like white can with beer.
I remember specifically
buying it in Nebraska.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is this weird stuff? And did they get the crappy, like the truck of the bad stuff pulled off there and just dumped Falstaff?
All the skunk beer is now beer.
I think part of the allure for Lowenbrau, too, is the commercial. B-Dub, see if you pull up the Lowenbrau commercial.
Because
they were really good.
Foster, someone says, was their first beer. Wow, that's going...
That's Australian for beer, isn't it?
They said it was horrible.
Yeah.
My first beer was Bud Dry. Absolutely. Everybody's first beer was awful.
Yeah.
It was. It was really terrible.
You were just happy to have it, you know? This is a good one, too. The good old broke college days of Rolling Rock. Yeah. When the Hawk would have Rolling Rock night for like a premium night or whatever it was on Wednesdays for a dollar, we used to drink the crap out of that Rolling Rock thinking we were getting like this premium beer for a
dollar. And then you go out to the East Coast and it's like, they don't want it.
Yeah.
It's like swill, right?
Yeah. Like nobody wants Rolling Rock, right?
I think that's why they shipped it. They shipped it to the Midwest.
But I loved it. I drank the hell out of that beer.
I always thought it was good, but yeah, it was not a favorite from where it's originated. But it was a favorite because you felt like it was special. It was like an export almost.
And it didn't have like the label on it. It was like painted on the bottle. Mm-hmm. And so that was a little bit classier. It had the 33 from the old from the glass line tanks of old Latrobe. And everybody always tried to figure out what the hell the 33 meant on the Rolling Rock bottle. About 17 deep into Rolling Rock, you had an idea. We always thought it was the saying at 33 words or, you know, like everybody. Nobody, I don't think to this day, knows what the 33 on the Rolling Rock bottle really truly means. But that was like the years when the Alanis Morissette's first album came out, Jagged Little Pill. That album from start to finish was fantastic. Put a bunch of Rolling Rocks in there for a dollar at the Hawk. You got yourself a night.
$10.99 for a 24-pack of Milwaukee's Best. Tonight is
kind of special. Where you been? It wasn't easy getting tickets for this game.
Hey, Bob.
Eddie, I know exactly what I want. I want the biggest steak you've got and a bottle of Lowenbrau. Steak and Lowenbrau. Dolan, you're a genius.
When you want the taste of a truly great American beer, tonight, let it be Lowenbrau.
Here's to the chef. Here's to the bartender.
Lowenbrau.
Here's to good friends.
It made it sound like it was
It made it sound so good. Yeah. I want a bottle of Lowenbrau.
In a darkly lit supper club.
That's exactly right, where there's smoke in the air because everybody was still smoking inside back then. I mean, that was the epitome of class. Mm. You knew you were arrived at a place like that, a dimly lit restaurant and a bottle of Lowenbrau.
Someone says we went hard on hams. Good for you.
Yeah.
The beer refreshing.
A Schaefer.
Meisterbrau. Now that's a Meisterbrau.
Yeah.
If anybody's got any Meisterbrau lying around, let's
go. Schlitz Malt Liquor Blue Bowl.
Yes.
Ooh.
Classic.
Sounds terrible too.
Old English 800.
Ugh.
St. Ides.
My first beer was a Red Stripe. Interesting. From Jamaica.
That was your first, huh?
Billy Beer. I don't believe you.
No,
I don't
Billy
believe
beer
your
was
first
not,
beer
no.
was Billy
it
Beer.
It was not.
I don't believe it, but it's great.
Yeah.
Great callback.
I've got an empty can of Billy Beer.
I did too. Yeah. Everybody had one for their collection, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I used to collect cans.
Uh-huh.
Meisterbrau, terrible. My first beer was a Big Bear 40 ounce. You didn't do a 40 with your first beer. I don't believe that either.
Not one chance. No Michelob on here.
No Michelob, which is very surprising. I always loved the teardrop bottles, and I don't know why they went away from that, but they did, and that was dumb. They need to bring back the teardrop bottles. People love retro stuff, right?
For sure, and you'll buy beverages based on the containers they're in.
Absolutely.
100%. There's no question about that.
Give me a Coors Banquet
that.
Now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You put that in front of Kling, it's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, because of the bottle. You yeah. absolutely buy things because of the packaging.
For sure.
If all of a sudden AB rolled back and said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to re-release the teardrop bottles of Michelob. They couldn't make enough Michelob to sell because people would want the bottles. Ah, Stroh's is another good one. Stroh's is spoken here. That was a good commercial, too.
Those are they don't do commercials like they did then.
No.
Well, you really don't get them now. You
the Stroh's, the Hams.
Yeah. Hams, the beer refreshing.
The less filling tastes great.
Yeah. Those were always
those
good
were
ones.
Fantastic.
The Frogs riveting.
Weekends are made for Michelob.
Yeah, such great commercials back then. The Budweiser commercials were great back then, too. Especially that Christmas one. And then you had Lou Rawls.
Oh, yeah.
Budweiser Beers, St. Louis, Missouri.
Somebody with a Colt 45. Proper.
Couldn't go wrong with Billy D. Williams there.
Mm-mm.
See, all right, somebody from the 816 chimes in. The 33 signifies the 33 words in the beer's original pledge of quality, according to the Google. See, back when we were in school, back in our day, we didn't have the Google. I think we had a lot more fun. We didn't know what the answers were. We made them up, and they became old wives' tales, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that anymore. If kids can now just go to Google and say if you're lying. But I'm glad to know that. Thank you for chiming in.
John Madden's beer commercials, yeah, those were good.
Those were fantastic.
Those were really a real man of genius. Yeah. Those were good.
Those were good ones,
commercials
yeah.
too.
We salute you, Mr. Sports Talk Radio host.
Someone else like you, their first beer was a Red Dog.
Red Dog, yeah. That, like, lasted 10 minutes, and then it was gone.
Thunderbird with a Kool-Aid package. Oh, my.
Ooh.
That just sounds bad.
That sounds like...
My stomach just did a flip.
I know. But if the Kool-Aid was to cover the taste of Thunderbird, then
why
maybe...
Why are you drinking Thunderbird in the first place?
Right. Well, because you're probably underage, and that's what Pops had in the fridge, and you were going to like it.
Someone says they had a 7-ounce banquet when they were 4. Come on.
What?
I don't buy that one. Wow. They told you that, but no, you didn't.
You just popped the top, and that was it.
Yeah, and a lot of people saying, you know, it was whatever Dad had. So
yeah,
oh yeah.
If you were lucky, whatever dad had didn't have a cigarette put out in it too. Yeah, everybody's out. Everybody's drank a bottle of that, whether it was somebody's chew or somebody's butt. Ugh. From the 816, no more bar debates about anything. Yeah, you miss it now. You can't have a barroom debate. You used to have barroom debates about stuff, and this is what it is. Now you just go to your phone. You're like, all right, well, that's what's next.
And you have to specifically say, don't check your phone. I want to think. Yeah, I want to remember this for myself.
How many times have you said that?
I want to remember
now?
This for myself. Just give it a minute.
Yeah.
And then you can't.
All right, put your phone down. Let's look for it. Yeah. Let's think about it. And then at the end, when we don't know what we got to do, then we'll look at our phone. But
yeah. My dad was not a beer drinker or a smoker, so it wasn't from there. But I look back at some of these that say, you know, your dad gave you whatever. You're like, gosh, your dad's drank bad beer.
My dad always drank Heineken and Samuel Adams.
Wasn't like good stuff.
My dad never liked the light beers, you know. Like, he was always like, he was a beer snob in the 70s and 80s before there were beer snobs, you know, before the Josh Klinglers of the world came along, right?
Yeah, I've gotten real beer snobby now.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a story yesterday that says beer drinkers right now either want high, high, high ABV or non-alcoholic. They don't want anything in between. It's in the Washington Post.
So get loaded or don't?
Don't.
Huh.
That's kind of how I work. Sunday through Thursday, don't. Friday and Saturday, get loaded.
It's the weekend, baby.
Hmm. Continue delivering your... Your first beer, 913-586-7610. It is International Beer Day today, so feel free to have an international beer or just beer. That's fine. Doesn't really matter. We were terribly surprised to find out Andy Reid's favorite Chiefs moment was not the Super Bowl. We'll get to that next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 to hear from Royals skipper Mike Matheny on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Andy Reid joined us on the show today, and we were surprised to find out his favorite memory is not the Super Bowl. It's just before it.
It's hard to get around winning the championship game at home. You know, it's named after our owner, father, right? So, and the person that started the organization. And then you have Mrs. Hunt out there enjoying that moment, too. So, to be able to bring the Mar Hunt Trophy to Kansas City, I think, is a beautiful thing. And there's something special about that when you do it in front of your crowd. And the Super Bowl is great, and winning the Super Bowl is phenomenal. That's great. But that, you know, that feeling, capacity crowd in Arrowhead is unbelievable.
I mean, there are plenty of Chiefs fans at the Super Bowl, okay?
Sure.
But there is, you do lose a little bit of that, you know, baseball, you get to play in home venues, mm-hmm. right? And football, you play in home venues until the big one.
Until the
know?
Big one, yeah.
So it's just a different vibe, a different feel. You're definitely on your home field when you win the AFC Championship game at home like they did. And twice.
Yeah, twice. Yeah. Second time, obviously, not much of a crowd
not
because
as much,
of the
yeah.
COVID situation. But that first time was just, it was a special day. It really was. It's one of the great days in Kansas City sports history.
And again, everybody can say they were there.
Right. You know,
go ahead and everybody said that they were there.
Whether you were there or whether you weren't there, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You were there that day. And we could all share that together. Yep. And, you know, you hope it happens again this year. You know, you want to get kind of back to that. You don't want to take another year and not get back to the Super Bowl, right? You want to get back to that Super Bowl, and you want to start to maximize what's going on here with Patrick Mahomes. And I think this is a team, like, I hate to say people are sleeping on the Chiefs, but people I think are still sleeping on this football team. And if you go up and watch these guys practice in St. Joe, you'll walk away going, I think people are sleeping on this football team.
I think so. Andy Reid, what he likes about this team?
I love the energy they have. I mean, it's they're so eager to grow, and we've got room to do that. And so they're attacking that part of all these new kids are attacking it. And we've challenged them here this week, and they've just dug in. A lot of them haven't been through practice like this. Mm-hmm. And so they've dug in and withstood the heat, and, you know, all the plays were thrown at them offensively and defensively. The special teams periods where they're gassed, and now they got to go do special teams for 15 minutes and run up and down the field, you know. And but they've embraced that. And I mean, I love that part. And there's an unknown out there for all of us, right? I mean, all of us. We're curious. Everybody's curious to see how it all works out. But right now, as coaches and players, we're right in the hopper and cranking every day. And then we stay up late at night doing it. And they get their sleep, and they're right back at it. And I just appreciate how they're doing it.
He got a little smile about there's an unknown. Mm-hmm. His eyes kind of lit up. You're like, there's an unknown. I'm like, yeah. The unknown of this team is cool.
It is. It's really awesome. And look, we've been talking about the unknown since they traded Heal to Miami a couple of months ago. We've been talking about how different it's going to be, and not just the unknown from a fan perspective, but an unknown from who's playing against the Chiefs, at least the first 6 weeks or so of the season perspective. They're not going to know what this offense is all about. Do you think anybody's going to know how to defend Sky Moore once they get out there to Arizona and open the season on September 11th? Do you think they're going to know what to do with Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield when he lines up at the 5-yard line and barrels through? Do you think they're going to have any answer for Bolton and Gay at the linebacker spot, or Justin Reed at safety, or George Karlaftis coming off the end and a reinvented Frank Clark? Teams are not going to have answers early on for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Time to cap the week of cliches. Pretty good.
Well, hello! Guess who's back? Back again for another year of cliches from camp. It is me, yours truly, the British woman. And now, another edition of Cliches from Camp.
All right, I don't have a lot to open up with.
You got a young bull, first-round pick, who has a lot of talent.
I mean, nobody has handed over a spot.
Yeah, it's going to be a process because it is a complex offense, but, like,
it's starting to click.
I like to eat and wherever you put on the table.
I don't know if he's the silent assassin leader.
At the end of the day, he got the keys to the cars.
It's a little throttled down. It's more mental.
You know, we're just a bunch of minions out there running.
You know, I try to be that versatile piece that I kind of always have been here.
The first thing that sticks out is the length.
And sometimes it might get hard, but he's going to get it out of you.
He's got a variety of different moves that he uses, and he brings the juice.
This is my 13th year. I've done it 12 different ways.
Nothing's ever guaranteed.
It's really just getting a feel for when I can take it.
And I put my money where my mouth is.
He's a big source of energy on the O-line.
He's as solid as you get in all facets.
We're expecting to go out there and kick a lot of ass this year.
The faster you can get the ball, the faster you can make something happen with us.
And he brings the heat.
I always say 70% of pass rushers want to.
Any deep ball connection is a plus.
When you get a little bit comfortable, that's not a good thing.
He's not really working too much harder. He's working smarter.
Kind of a slow mover early. I think he's kind of figuring out that doesn't really work at this level.
You know, now I know a lot more what's going on.
Great opportunity with a great organization.
Georgia's a sponge.
That was pretty dope.
Ah, cliches from camp. Delicious like tea and crumpets. Come back tomorrow for another edition of Cliches from Camp.
Thank you, British lady. Who was the guy that said we're going to kick a lot of asses?
Austin Wiley.
Austin Wiley. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Wasn't there another Wiley?
E. Coyote.
That's it. That's what I'm thinking of.
Bob.
Bob Wiley.
The belly coach.
The belly coach. Is he still with us, or did we lose him?
We might have lost him. I'm not positive.
We may have lost him. Like,
he may have passed.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Could have.
I'm not sure. I don't know how to find that out.
We'll just debate it in a bar room.
That's
we'll never
true.
Know the answer.
That would be the goal. He recaps the week that was. He is Fesco's biggest fan each and every week. Billy Coons delivers What We Learned, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow.
Hello, this is Billy Coons. This is What We Learned on Fesco in the Morning for this week. On Monday, Josh and Dusty, we're happy that the Royals actually won a game in the four-game set against the Yankees. And Dusty says Aaron Judge is already at 42 home runs with 2 months to go. And Josh says it's great to have Salvi back. He's forever Royal. And Josh and Dusty were saddened that NBA great Bill Russell passed away at the age 89. And we learned the breaking news that Deshaun Watson suspension's only 6 games for his conduct for going to massage parlors and getting extra favors after the massages. On Tuesday, Bob and Josh held their breath and were in silence as Patrick Mahomes has stepped on in practice, but according to Andy Reid, he's doing okay. And legend Bob says Rod Johnson should be terminated for accidentally stepping on his foot and hurting Mahomes. And Bob, Josh, and B-Dub discussed their favorite hidden talents. And legend Bob, speaking of him, he's an expert on how to make margaritas to drink. And Derek Johnson joined the show to discuss Dick Vermeil going to Hall of Fame this weekend. On Wednesday, we learned the news on Tuesday that the greatest Major League Baseball announcer and the voice of the Dodgers, Vince Scully, 94, has passed away, and legend Bob was choked up and very sad about the passing of Vince Scully. Also, Bob and Josh were impressed at how Kansas City Chiefs defensive lineman George Kolaris has been tearing up in the preseason and tearing up in training camp, and the Chiefs players are taking him under their wing. And Bob and Josh were happy that Kansas City Royals traded Whit Merrifield to the Toronto Blue Jays. On Thursday, Bob and Josh talked about rookie Isaiah Pacheco, running back from the Rutgers Scarlet Knights that the Chiefs got in the draft, and says he's a big-time punt returner and kick returner for the Chiefs. And Dick Vermeil joined the show to talk about his NFL Hall of Fame this weekend. Also, Bob, Josh, and B-Dub discuss their favorite chocolate chip cookie to eat in the Kansas City area and restaurants. Great week to listen to B-Dub. I with Josh and my hero, and the most beloved and respected person in Kansas City, legend Bob. Talk to you later.
Remember that, Josh.
Pacheco?
Pacheco. See, don't do that to yourself, because you got to be down on the sidelines.
It was Pacheco. Yeah, because it was Ralph Pacheco.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got a game a week from Saturday.
No, I got this one, because he's the fight doctor.
Pacheco.
The fight doctor, Ferdy Pacheco. I remember
Pacheco.
That one forever.
Remember Bernie Federko played for the Blues?
I do. Another good name.
Heard of him.
Yeah.
So that recapped the week. If you missed any of it, including today's chat with Andy Reid, you can check it out anytime, 610sports.com, or the Audacy app, AUDACY. Download it for free. Hey, I look on the other side of the glass. Cody and Gold are here.
No camp today.
No camp day today. So
Slackers.
They're in studio. Cody and Gold, come your way next here on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later.
The home for Legend Bob.
Legend Bob, he's an expert on rubbing balls.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. Your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.